This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go. It's the end of September. Another season is upon us. Did you miss the Caps? Did you miss us? Caps are back. We're back. We're here to talk all kinds of puck. Joining me, as always, my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. It's good to be back. Good to see you on the old Zoom.
Yep. We're here. We're Zooming it. It's pandemic's kind of over, but we're still going Zoom because we live far away from each other. That's how we're doing it here.
We're not that far.
We're far
enough that we're far enough that we don't do this in person, but not far enough that like we wouldn't eventually see one another.
When would we see each other?
We used to do our yearly summer show from rookie camp, but now our lives have become a bit too busy. I have two small humans now. We were texting about this the other day. When we started doing this show, I had no children. I didn't have my own house yet. And now, I mean, I've done this show from, I think, four different residences at this point. And I have assisted in bringing two new, small, somewhat annoying humans into the world.
Somewhat annoying. Okay. All right. You said it, not me. So there's a recording, a record of this.
Oh, I tell them, don't worry. They're well aware when they're being obnoxious. I mean, one of them's almost 8 months old, so she has no idea what's going on in the world.
Well, I mean, you've kind of rebuilt the world here as you're going through, bringing two new humans into it, and the Caps seem to be in a little bit of a rebuilding stage as well. Do you see that segue?
Lovely segue. Lovely.
last time we spoke, we were talking about whether or not Samsonov or Vitek would be the number one guy and which one they were going to keep. Turns out neither. Neither. Both hit the road. Both are gone. And we've got two brand new goaltenders. And we've got a lot of new names that we're going to have to learn here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, let's go back to the goalies for a second. So I feel like we both went into the offseason being like, they're going to have to pick one.
Yeah.
You know, it's either Vanacek, who we felt like was struggling a bit. Samsonov has the higher ceiling. And McClellan was like, oh, really? You think so, do you? Well, guess what? They're both out of here. And I was shocked, to be honest, that they both left. Like when Vitek got traded, what did we get for Vitek? Like a third round pick, fourth round pick, second round pick, something like that?
I don't even remember, to be honest.
When they dealt Vanacek to New Jersey, I was like, okay, I think, you know what? It makes sense. Samsonov's going to cost you a little bit more, but he's got the higher ceiling on paper anyways, right? The thought is that he has a higher ceiling. But when they came out, we're like, we're not tendering him an offer because we don't think he's worth, essentially, he's not worth what they're going to have to offer him.
Yeah.
I was like, ouch. But then the second part is like, wow, they're mixing it up here a bit. And I forget who put it on Twitter because I didn't really thought about it, but this is the first time in a long time that both goaltenders that we're assuming are going to be the guys in DC, that both goaltenders are not a part of this organization prior to the season, that they were not drafted and brought up through the organization. I mean, you have to go back to, I think, Jose Theodore, that, and that might be wrong. There might be someone after. Who's right after Theodore? There's someone to him in Varlamov, right?
There was Nuvi.
No. Well, Nuvi was after Varlamov. Yeah. But like Varlamov, I think, if I remember correctly, was the start of the like guys that we drafted. It was Varlamov, well, Neuver, and there was Holpe.
Tomas Vokoun, he came in before Holpe.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of like we always had a guy that was like part of our system.
Right.
That's
why when Vitek left at first, we were like, all right, I guess it looks like it's going to be Sammy and Fukale. It looks like Fukale is going to be the backup or something.
Yeah, like we've always had one guy that's been a part of the organization that we're like, okay, well, it makes sense. Like that's our new our new guy, because that's just how things have been for the Caps for years now, right? Even like there was, you know, we had Kolzig for so long, and then there was a, you know, a couple of years where we were kind of bouncing around, and then it was Varlamov, Neuwirth, Holpe, with, you know, a Vokoun thrown in and a couple other guys. There was Cristobal Huey at one point.
Right. But that's why
that was when Kolzig era.
You do have Ole, the goalie, working with the young guys, working in the minors, so that's kind of like why that always happened.
Well, it's just they've done really well drafting goalies.
That too.
And it looks like at this point they were like, you know what? They didn't think Samsonov was worth the money that he was going to get.
And he wasn't.
And they're like, you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to find ourselves a new starter. And during the offseason, the stars aligned essentially to the Caps being basically the only team that Darcy Kuemper could have gone to. And the Stanley Cup winning goalie, who had a very good year last year, he's now the new starting goalie for the Capitals. He's a little expensive, and he's got a number of years in his deal. I mean, they've got him signed for, as I'm trying to look it up on Cap Friendly right now, they've got him signed through the 26-27 season. He's 32 at the moment, so he turns 33 at the beginning of May. So, you know, if the Caps go far enough into the playoffs, then they have an opportunity, you know, to be playing on his birthday or near his birthday. But they've got him signed through when he's, what, turning 36, 37, something like that?
Right.
So, you know, goalies can't play that long. Is this a deal that might come back to bite you in the, you know what, maybe? He didn't have the best of numbers with Arizona, but who has?
Yeah.
But you put him on a good team in Colorado, and he does quite well. So,
well, that's the thing.
It was a risky move, but it was a move they had to make. They had to bring in a starting goalie. Kuemper was the best goalie available on the market in terms of free agents, and I think it made a lot of sense.
And that's the thing. You said that he was put on a good team and was able to play really well and get that payday. Is he on a good team now? You know, I love the Caps, and they're my team. I'm going to follow them no matter what. But does he have the defense in front of him to make him look as good as he did in Colorado?
I mean, as good as he did in Colorado, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Colorado obviously has won the Cup. They're a very good team.
Right.
Do the Caps have a good defense? I think they have a good defense if they play well. I don't know if they have, like, a stellar I don't think this is a team we're looking at going, this is a team that's going to win the Cup. But I don't think we thought that during the 2017-18 season either. You know, that was a season where Trotz almost got fired at around Thanksgiving. Or at least, you know, I don't know if he almost got fired, but there was discussions about it. But this is a team that I think a lot of pundits are saying they're a bottom part of the playoffs team. You know, they're a 6th, 7th, 8th seed. And I think that's not necessarily the worst thing for them to go into this season with not having all the eyes on them. You know, you can kind of sneak it under the radar a little bit, play some good as much best as you can while your star player is going for an all-time goal scoring record. But I think this is a team that has a pretty good defense. You know, you still have Carlson, you still have Orlov. Jensen's had a really good year last year. Van Riemsdyk looked pretty good. Favari, I think, is going to come back and do quite well.
Who chipped his teeth? Did you see that?
Yes.
Oof.
He'll be all right. I'm sure he can afford it. Yeah. You know, he's a guy that they're going to need to. Actually, I'm looking at this right now, all of their defensemen, except for John Carlson, have to get re-signed need a new contract, I should say, after this season. So the defense is about to get blown up.
Now, if you are Martin Fehivari, do you get those teeth fixed or you just get them pulled because you're a hockey player? Do you just leave that, you know, as a gaping hole and like, I'll fix it after my career is done?
Nah, man. He's what, 22? He's a young guy. He wants to look good for, you know, whoever. I think he's going to be, he'll get it fixed up. If he hasn't already, that'd be my guess. You know, you put a little cap on it or something. I have no idea.
Sure.
But then you got a guy like, you know, they brought in Erik Gustafsson, didn't cost a lot. And then you've got Lucas Johansson, who has definitely an opportunity to make this team as the 6th or 7th defenseman. They have, you know, they have a couple guys that in at least Gustafsson and Johansson that you're kind of looking at going, I'm not sure. We'll see what we got there. But they have an opportunity to have a pretty good defense. You know, it's a bit of an older defense. The average age of this defense right now, at, you know, not including Johansson, is 30.3 years old. And that's Carlson, Orlov, Jensen, Van Riemsdyk, Gustafsson, Fehivari, and Irwin. And so, which I think Irwin probably ends up in Hershey. So, you know, they have an opportunity to be pretty good. We got a couple of young guys like a Vincent Iorio, who I think they'll be looking at. I don't think he's quite ready for the NHL yet, but he'll get, I'm sure, a nice look at training camp to see how he's doing and see, you know, does he get a cup of coffee at some point due to injuries or whatever the case may be during the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's been an issue, though. I mean, yes, they have made a lot of changes. It's a lot of new names, like I said, that we're going to have to memorize. But that was one of your biggest complaints last year with this team, is that how old this team was. Now, you said that the defense is now 30 years old on average. You do have some younger guys in there, of course, but average age is about 30 years old. With these new names and not much youth movement in the defense, is that a recipe for success for this team? I mean, obviously, Peter Laviolette likes the veterans, and so does Brian McClellan. We've seen that in the way that they trade and the way that they coach, especially in like the last postseason that Peter Laviolette was the coach here for. He liked bringing in those veteran guys, but making these trades, bringing these new names in, but keeping the age kind of at that veteran leadership realm, is that a recipe for success?
It depends on the players. Just because they're older doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be better, but I don't think you can go into the season with three or four young guys on the back end. Like, you need some stability back there, and you're not a young team. This isn't the Caps of 2005. You know, this isn't a team that's up and coming and it's going to take a few years. This is a team that is in a win now mode because you have a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer in Alex Ovechkin, and should be Nicholas Backstrom. And you have TJ Oshie. These are guys that are getting towards the end of their careers that they want another run at a cup. And you don't do that by plugging in a bunch of young guys, you know, in 4 years. Cause you know, you may have, once those guys retire, then you might be looking at, do you do a rebuild around your young guys? And you look at McMichael, LaPierre, Iorio, with Carlson being the old man, you know, on the back end, you have these young guys that you're Favari, that you're now building around them. And then, you know, you do some drafting, you bring up your young guys, and then you go out and, like, kind of like what Toronto did, you know, they drafted a bunch of young players and they built, or the Caps did back in 2005. You know, you draft a bunch of young guys, you see what you got there, who can play in the NHL and who can't, and then you start plugging in pieces with free agent signings and trades, and then you start to build something. And I think we're going to have that in the latter part of this decade in terms of once the Ovechkin era is done, now we move on to the next level.
Right, the LaPierre, like we brought up last year.
God, I forgot about that.
Now, a couple of those names that you did bring up, of course, we're not going to see two big names, two names that are very synonymous with the Capitals for a pretty good stretch of time. We saw them on Media Day, which was nice to see, but Nick Backstrom and Tom Wilson, we're not going to see them for a little while. Allegedly, Tom Wilson is doing great with his rehab, and they're expecting him early December-ish, but the timetable for a return for Nick Backstrom is still very much up in the air. What have the Caps done, or what do you think they're going to do this season to kind of help with the absence of those two guys? Because those are two huge names in the top six.
Well, I think they did that to an extent by signing Dylan Strome and trading for Connor Brown. I mean, you've got these guys that are not young guys in the league. I mean, Brown's 28, which is not necessarily on this team is a younger guy.
Right.
But Dylan Strome is 25. So you've got, you know, these guys have, they're coming to the end of deals. Strome was a 1 year deal. Brown has one more year left on his deal. So if it doesn't work out, you know, you're not stuck with them for a long time. But these are guys that I think fit into this lineup quite well. I mean, Strome, I think, is your second line center behind Kuznetsov and in front of Eller. And Brown could easily slide in on the first line on the right wing until Wilson's back, or even, you know, gives Wilson an opportunity to play on the second or third line to kind of ease his way back in once he returns. And then Strome, you know, he's only 25. He could take that second line spot and run with it. You know, there's part of me that thinks Backstrom may never play for this team again because of this injury. And then, you know, have you found your replacement in Dylan Strome? You know, is he your guy that takes over for Backstrom? Is he ever going to be as good as Backstrom? Not to sound insulting, but probably not. But can he be a very good or a good second line center? Yeah, maybe. Or at least hold it down until McMichael gets the spot, if that ever, you know, comes to pass, or LaPierre. And so I think I like the moves they made this offseason for the most part. The Marcus Johansson one still kind of baffles me a little bit. It wasn't a big deal. It's only $1.1 million, so it doesn't really hurt your cap situation. But that one I'm still a little fuzzy on in terms of why that had to happen. But it's the decision they went with, and we'll see how it works out. It's not one that, you know, it's a low risk, high reward kind of thing. You know, it's not a ton of money, and I don't think it hurts them in other places. But I do question that one a little bit. But I think I liked the move for Connor Brown. I'm assuming it works out, obviously. I like the move for Dylan Strome. A little surprised by Eric Gustafson, but I think that could work out. And, I like the goalie moves. I honestly had never heard of Charlie Lindgren. He had, decent sometime in the AHL last year, so we'll see if that works out. I think Fukali, if he comes in and has an amazing camp, he could be the backup. I don't anticipate that being the case. It sounds like these are the guys, Kemper and Lindgren are the guys they want to be their one and two. And so we'll see how it goes.
Now, any news on Carl Hagelin? Do we know what his future holds for him?
It sounds like he's trying to come back. I don't know when. It sounds like he's been skating with the team at least. I think I saw he was skating. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn I saw that he was skating. He's probably still in a no contact jersey. Because right now it's Backstrom, Wilson, Hagelin, and Alexiev that are all marked as injured on their training camp roster that they released to the media. And so I imagine those guys are at least not skating, at least in practice yet. You know, we know Wilson and Backstrom won't be for quite some time. Alexiev has some stuff he's dealing with in terms of, I think he has surgery. And we're obviously not going to see the kid who they just drafted. That would have been nice to see in terms of his... The problem is, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Ivan. Can we call him Miros? I think that'd be a good nickname for him, right? Like, what's his nickname going to be in the locker room? Because everybody's got like the short, OV, Backy.
Right.
Osh.
What's his number? Miros? Just call him numbers. What's his number?
I don't know. Like, was it like 91 or something? I have no idea. Miros Nichenko. I feel like they'll call him Miro for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
That'd be my guess. I have no idea. Anyways, or just Ivan. So, that I thought that would have been cool, but obviously he's still getting better. But that was a high, I would say a medium risk, high reward move. It sounds like this kid, he would have been like a top five pick. If he didn't have the is it non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? But it sounds like he's doing better. So great for him. Just personally as a human being to be getting better there. And, is he the kid that you start to look at building around him, McMichael, and LaPierre as your big three forwards? And then, you have Eliason, you have a Protus, you have Jansson Fjällby, hopefully. And then they have this other kid who's got apparently some fancy moves in, is it Suzdalev? Alexander, young guy, 18 years old. He's got, seen some nice stuff on Twitter in terms of some sneaky moves that he's got in rookie camp. So we'll see how he does. But no, I'm excited to see some of these young guys in terms of how they do during training camp. I think at least LaPierre is pushing for a move. He's been here for a couple weeks now in DC skating.
Yeah, he wants to be up in the big leagues again. He doesn't like those bus trips and the juniors.
So, I think that he's going to make a push. I don't know where he would fit in and who he's knocking out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Like the only guy I could potentially see him knocking out of the lineup would be McMichael.
But I think McMichael's in Hershey this year. I don't think he impressed anybody last year. Yeah, 100%.
That'll be interesting because I think, take Backstrom and Wilson out of the lineup because they're not playing. You've got what? Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, let's say Connor Brown.
Right.
Or Anthony Mantha, right? That's another guy who needs to have a big year. Like, Mantha needs to prove himself this year. You've got, what's the second line?
Mantha, Daniel Strome, TJ Oshie.
So, yeah. Mantha, Dylan Strome, Osh. That makes sense. You'd have, my head is just like foggy with the stuff right now. Potentially something like, like Connor Sheary. Well, Sheary, yeah. You could have like Sheary, Eller, and
Marcus.
I guess Johansson. And the fourth line would be what? McMichael. Michael probably play on the third line. But then you could have like a McMichael, Dowd, Hathaway.
Yeah, or the website I'm looking at has Axel Janssen Fjällby on that fourth line spot.
So, like, who's LaPierre knocking out of a roster spot? Does he move out Connor Sheary? and play on that third line? Because he's not going to. Does he knock out Oshie and bump him back to the third line?
I ain't knocking Oshie on the wing.
No, because Oshie's getting older. He's got the injuries. Do you put him on the third line where he's got some, you know, decent defensive play and puts a little goal scoring on that third line? I wouldn't necessarily be against that.
Yeah.
But I don't know whose spot LaPierre takes. I think he plays in Hershey to start, and he's probably their first call up if they need someone, especially if they need someone to score goals. But, you know, the kid's got a future. It just may not be here quite yet.
Right.
But, you know, him, Iorio, I think is going to get a good look. I'd love to see Jonsson Fjällby, if not for the hair alone, on this team. And I think Lukas Johansson has a real, real shot at making this team. Maybe not playing every game, but, you know, being on the team.
I mean, only time will tell. This is what we get to see in training camp, and we're going to have some exhibition games starting up this Sunday. So it'll be fun to see that and what these guys can do. Unfortunately, one thing that you will not hear during the exhibition games or any games this season is an organ at Washington Capitol games. That's unfortunate.
No!
Bruce Anderson, he announced today on Twitter that the Capitals will not be bringing him back. They will no longer be using an organ for Caps games. He's been here for 22 years. He's an Emmy winner. He's played the Winter Classic. He's got himself a Stanley Cup ring. He put out a little statement thanking Caps fans and everybody for the support, but what a bummer. No organ at Caps games anymore. They're going to be using an iPod shuffle at this point. instead of it. I mean, I get it. You want to appeal to that younger audience who doesn't understand the organ and the significance for hockey, but...
Is that why you think?
Oh, 100%, I think that's why. I think they want to get
or
that younger audience.
Cost-saving measures that they don't want
to... That too.
Pay for... Well, I mean, I hadn't really thought about it.
Uncle Teddy just bought NBC Sports Washington. He's got to save the money somewhere.
Oh, he's looking at buying the Nationals. That... I mean, this just, I don't know. It's just kind of a bummer because I felt like when I, you know, when that, I think it was Caps Outsider who had a piece out that I first saw and they had a little video in there and I was like hearing him play the songs and it instantly took me back to Capital One or Verizon Center or MCI Center or whatever it was called. And like instantly took me back to being in the rink, hearing that and to know that I'm going to go to a game and I'm not going to get that, the organ sound. And it's something that's like not a big thing as part of the in-game experience or being in the arena. But it is like, it plays a big role.
Sure.
In terms of like what that feeling is by being there, you know, it's like when you go to Camden Yards, at least for me, I mean, I haven't been in a couple of years at this point, but that's what having small children does to you, I guess. But like when you go to like Camden Yards, just the chants or the horn or whatever, like it's just takes you to a special place, a memory, you know,
yeah.
And it's going to be disappointing that that's not going to be a part of it anymore.
No, absolutely. It is a bummer. I mean, the organ and a hockey game, they go hand in hand, you know, it's like when you go to a ballpark and it's peanuts and Cracker Jacks, like that's a part of it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So it's unfortunate that the Capitals are going that route. And I think it is cost cutting and I think it is trying to appeal to a younger audience. They want more pop music and all that kind of stuff. But
they have plenty of time for music.
I know. But
I don't like it.
And hopefully they change their minds down the road or they realize that, you know, this is something that Caps fans want back, but it sucks. It does suck. This is it's old time hockey, baby, and that's what it was all about, and now we're losing that part of the game, so it's unfortunate. What else should we cover here in Caps World?
Well, training camp's opening on Thursday. But like Group A will be out at 9:45. Group B is on at 11:15, and then Group C is on at 12:30. Then there's media availability throughout the day after each one of those things. And then Laviolette, McClellan. I think I saw a thing on like NHL.com or something, the hockey news or something, that's talking about how Laviolette is one of the coaches viewed as most likely to be fired.
First likely one.
Yeah. That's what it was. And I was like, well, yeah, he's got a veteran team that has high expectations. So like, of course he'd be on there. Any coach that has a veteran team with high expectations would be one of the first ones you'd think that would be fired that didn't do well last season. So, like, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Like it's an easy mark, you know, like that. So that didn't like, I was like, whatever, but it's also true. Like there are high expectations and they haven't gone well. I mean, it's been 4 years. They haven't gotten out of the first round. That's a problem when you have this roster. So if you can't take them further, then someone else is going to try and do it or should try and do it anyways. Their first, I always found this weird with hockey where like the NFL has like a month of training camp before you have your first game.
Yeah.
Right. Baseball's got weeks or something. I don't know how long they do it. I don't know about basketball, but like hockey. So they open training camp on Thursday and Sunday at 2 o'clock is their first game against Buffalo. Hey guys, welcome. We're going to go play the Sabres. And it's like, can we learn a little bit? Should we do some icebreakers? Like, what are we doing? So first game Sunday at 2:00 is going to be on NBC Sports Washington. Not to steal your bit at the end.
Yeah, you're killing my bit here.
But I'm excited to watch some Caps hockey. It's almost back.
Yeah. Well, it's on Sunday. So is that going to be the same time as some football at 2:00? Man, you're killing us there.
I mean, the timing's not well for those of us that support the local football Washington-based team. You know, you're not really missing much if you watch their games.
Yeah.
Because they are garbage.
But yeah, so yeah, it's crazy that I guess it's like, you know, throwing your kid into the deep end. Don't do that, coach, by the way. Throwing your kid into the deep end and be like, all right, you're going to learn to swim. You're going to learn to swim. You're going to go play a game now. Get out there. Go do your thing. But I guess it's expected that you're training and you're doing all that stuff in the off season as well. You don't really get a break. Especially this is still a shorter break for this. I think this is going to be the first year that's somewhat regular since the COVID pandemic started. I think we're starting a week or two later than normal, but for the most part, this is going to be a regular season.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the idea. So it'll be, good. It'll be good to have hockey back on TV. We'll see how the Caps are doing. Looking forward to hopefully getting out to a game at some point. I haven't been to a game since since before COVID. So
yeah.
I think my last game was I went and saw him whoop up on the Sabres. That might be right.
As they should.
So, I don't know. It'll be nice. It'll be nice to have them back.
Yeah. So anything else we should cover here in Caps World? I guess there's one more thing we should say is congratulations to Zdeno Chara, former Cap, on announcing his retirement. Yes, he is retiring as a Boston Bruin, but he did spend one COVID year here with the Caps, and it was great to have that giant here part of the team for that year.
It was very nice. I think Russian Machine went a little crazy calling him Caps legend, considering he played here for a season. But, he made a great mark on the team, but let's not go crazy.
I want to say, like I said to you, a legend that played for the Capitals.
Yes, that is fair. He is a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer that played for the Capitals. And I saw interesting stats today. He is the last NHL player to play against Wayne Gretzky. He was the last one to play in the old Maple Leafs Arena, and he was the last one to play in the 90s? Might have been the case.
To still be playing, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, how did that work? Like New Year's Eve, 99, he was the last one to leave the ice. I was confused.
No, I apologize. Yes, I should have been more clear about that. But he's the last one playing in the NHL that played in the 90s, I believe, is what I read today. I could have that wrong, but I believe that is what I read today. So, I mean, it's pretty cool in terms of, guy's been around that long and that he got to wear a Capitals jersey. And I think you have his t-shirt.
His jersey.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think it was weird because I don't know if you want to jump right into going around the NHL, but he is one of three NHL players that all retired today or announced their retirements today, which I thought was weird. Like, did they plan it? Were they like texting each other, a little group text being like, hey, you guys want to announce it all together? It'll be fun.
Don't steal my thunder. No, you don't steal my thunder.
We'll all put out an Instagram post. No, so not only was it Zdeno Chara, which everyone's going, yeah, that makes sense. But Keith Yandle retired. And then this one shocked me. PK Subban retired, I know it's a free agent, but I was like, dude, you're like 33. Like, I figured he'd be playing for a while. I don't know what happened there, but he's a guy that, like, he's been doing some media stuff, and he's going to be so much fun if he goes and does NHL games. Like, I would love to have him on. I think I could be 100% wrong about this, but I think he would be great on a broadcast because I think he will be funny. I think he knows the game, and I think he will be someone that people can listen to and enjoy, and not just, they need to play hockey like we used to. Stiff and boring. Like, let's get some personalities of some of these players, right? Like, not everything is the way Don Cherry wanted it to be. Like, we can learn about who these players are. So, now, that was pretty surprising that they all retired on the same day.
Yeah.
And then another former Capital, Matthew Perreault, announced his retirement. Good old Matty P.
Also kind of surprising because he seems like a young guy, but he's also going to broadcasting, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I thought I read that he was doing that, yeah.
He seems like a bit of a goofy dude, so that could be fun. Bring him back to DC. Let's have him join up. You know, he can be a sideline reporter. He and Alan Make and Brent Johnson can hang out with, what's her name? Alexa Landestoy?
Sounds right.
Yeah. That'd be a fun broadcast. He could be on there. What was the thing he did before where he was all, like, crazy on the bench? You know, he'd do that a couple of times. A little bit of NHL news. Nathan MacKinnon got paid. He's now the highest paid player in the NHL. He signed an 8-year, $100.8 million deal with the Colorado Avalanche. Comes out to a cap hit of $12.6 million a year, which, like I said, is the highest in NHL history, which is the highest until Austin Matthews gets his new deal. And last little bit of news is the Buffalo Sabres signed their general manager, Kevin Adams, to an extension. So he's going to be sticking around in upstate New York for the next couple of years.
So a lot of people moving around, a lot of new faces.
There's probably more stuff, but, you know, things that happen over the summer. But that's all in the past.
Right. So is that the show?
I think it's a short one, man. It's a preseason show. We got to get back in. You know, we got to work out the larynx. I don't know. We got to, we got to get back into it as well.
Yes, yeah, we got to get back into this. We got to get back into the habit of doing these shows. We're going to figure out a schedule, guys. We just stay tuned to our Facebook page and to our personal Twitter accounts. And what do you guys, are you guys on Discord? Would you guys like a Capitals Discord to discuss games during the season with us? Is that something you guys would be interested in? Let us know if that would be something you are interested in. And Coach Dan and I
don't know what that is.
Can look into it. You know, we started one up for my Ravens podcast, and it's kind of fun. We could also give you guys some premium content as well, exclusive to Discord. So let us know if that's something you guys would be interested in. So I think that's the show. That's what we're doing. We're going to figure that out of, like, when's the best time we're going to be able to do the show. So make sure you stay tuned to us. If you'd like to have a conversation with Coach Dan or I, it's real easy. All you got to do, tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking about Caps hockey now that it's coming back, Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders, and all the other sports teams that I may follow. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, go ahead, like Brandon said, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as interesting news and bits and tidbits and things that come out regarding the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs. Their jerseys, I think, need a little bit of work. I don't know if you saw, they had a post recently out, I think it was earlier today, about some jerseys that, you know what? Not as big of a fan. I got to work on that a little bit. So we'll see. But that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, you brought up this Discord thing that I don't know how that works. I have heard of it. I don't know how that works, but you talked about this other podcast. If you happen to be a fan of a certain purple clad team that could not do the Bills any favors this past weekend.
Don't. Don't even get me started with this past Sunday. I don't want to talk about that yet.
Fair enough. But if they happen to be a fan of that team that you don't want to talk about, is there a podcast they should listen to?
That's right. You can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. We discuss all things Baltimore Ravens. And unfortunately, that does include some losses to the Dolphins, which was quite unexpected. did not see that one coming. But we started up our own Discord server. So if you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, go to discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Follow us. Join our server and discuss Baltimore Ravens football with us there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Let's just go over the games for next week. So starting on Sunday, September 25th, the Capitals are up against the Buffalo Sabres. That one's at home in D.C. It's a 2 o'clock in the afternoon start. You can watch that on the NHL Network or on NBC Sports Washington. And the Caps are back at it on Wednesday, the 28th, going up to Philadelphia, up against the Flyers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington, NBC Sports Plus, and the NHL Network. And then on Friday, September 30th, the Capitals are in Detroit, and you have to be in Detroit to see that one. So if you're in Detroit, 7:30 start is that game. And then on Saturday, October 1st, we're already into October. How crazy is that? They're going up against Columbus against the Blue Jackets. That game's at 7 o'clock, and that's another one where you're going to have to be there to check it out. So, hey, if you're at those games, let us know what you think. Be fun to hear from you. So I guess that's pretty much it for the show this week. Training camp right around the corner. Coach Dan and I will be there ready. We'll be ready to go. Talk more Caps hockey as things progress. So that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.